Hotsugamon, Dogen's arousing the desire for enlightenment. We chant it before every teisho in each session except the Rohatsu session. I vow, together with all being, together with all beings, one with all being. We are not apart, not separate. To reiterate what I said in last night's opening gyocha, this session is organized and conducted solely for you alone, the sole being, the one, one with all being. Please, everything is laid out for you. Please, everything is you, yours, the one. Go ahead, experience the one. Please, go ahead, practice. Everything is dedicating itself to you and you alone. For each of you here practicing, for you who live inside the temple and for you who come in only for session, for all of you who are working in some way to forward the practice of everyone, for you just sitting, all the universe beckons you, encourages you. It's your world. Within each and everything that you personally encounter, and each one of you is different, completely unique in what you encounter. Within each and everything that you personally encounter, a voice invites you to embody, to experience life. Life. That's life with a capital letter, sacred life. Sacred life supports you completely. Session is supporting you. There is no other, nothing which is outside. You do not use or direct your mind. Mind is your all. You are not using anything. There is nothing outside, no other. Everything. Everything is you and yours. There is no separation. You, just as you are now, perfectly embrace all being. Perfectly embraced in all being. The simplest analogy can be made with feasting. Please eat, go ahead. Help yourself. When you're truly hungry, your way of receiving the food changes, doesn't it? Yes. You grab your spoon or your fork or your chopsticks properly according to custom, and you dive in. You bite into it. Here, help yourself. And you do. You just eat. Just. You spare no time to judge the food, good or bad, tasty or not. You just gobble, 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 eat. When you've really eaten, you may take a breath to say, it's delicious. So I ask you, what did it taste like? But all you can reply is taste it for yourself. If you don't bite into it, you don't know the taste. It is indescribable, unimaginable beyond thought. And until just now, you were so hungry, weren't you? Asking, figuring out, analyzing, but how do I receive the feast? Is this the right way to eat? How do I go about eating it? How can I taste the feast for myself? Just before, just now, you were feeling weak and unable to swallow the food. And now, suddenly, you've tasted the feast. Even if you've only bitten into, but really bitten into, one bite, tasted only one bite, bitten it, chewed it up, tasted, digested it, even one bite, you will become a person for whom there is no longer any hunger. You will never be hungry, no matter what happens, no matter when, no matter where. But why? How could this be? It will be because you will be aware that you are always and forever eternally feasting. And neither will there be any possibility of overeating, getting too much. Always you will be able to receive just enough. You will become a person who always feasts just right, who can always receive just as it is. Life's feast, the feast of genuine life. But a word of caution. It's very important for anyone who has tasted the feast or who thinks so to have that experience verified. There are many, many, many people out there who are only imagining that they have tasted life's feast. They only think, ah, it tasted so delicious. And they happily imagine that they've tasted the ultimate. That with this, they're quite satisfied. Many are the people who are so deluded by a feast which is artificial, not the real thing. What about you yourself? Are you really hungry? Do you really, really desire to receive life's feast? Can you hold on to this desire purely and sincerely? Let it burn. That first step as we go into practice is crucial. You desire pure, unmixed, genuine. You desire to know reality. And your desire must be bold and it must be correct. If the beginning is not right, if your first step is not right, if your aim is not right, all the myriad practices will be useless. If your aim, your starting point, is incorrect, your practice will be in vain. There are so very many people, again, whose first aim is off the mark. But a desire which is off the mark will certainly, in the end, leave one dissatisfied. Even if one believes himself to be at peace, something will suddenly happen to reveal that there is, in fact, not peace of mind. Some tight circumstance will show that that person whose aim was not right, whose aim of practice was not right, something will happen to show that person that there still exists dissatisfaction, that they were only fooling themselves. It's not the best example, I'm afraid, but we could compare it to drinking sake. Someone who likes to drink sake can drink into drunkenness and feel good, tipsy and mellow. But that intoxication is dependent upon something, sake, and that person will eventually become sober. maybe even the more happily tipsy the person had become, the lonelier or more disappointed or painful maybe their sobering up. This analogy may be especially weak coming from someone who hasn't drunk for more than 44 years. When I came to the temple and assembled those connected to the temple, I announced that I would not be drinking with them. So maybe I shouldn't speak of drinking sake. But on the other hand, there was a time when drinking sake came much to my aid, directly saved my life, so to speak. So it would be very presumptuous of me to sit up here and pronounce against sake anyway. But back to your aim. If your aim is not right, all the myriad practices will be useless. Our practice is, must be, as Dogen Zenji began the Hotsuganmon, I vow, together with all being, one with all being. How blessed. What a blessing is this vow. I vow, I pray. This is our ardent prayer, our earnest vow. Our vow reveals life so earnest, life so ardent. Many people say that one must not practice Zazen with any desire in mind, that one must not desire enlightenment, together with all beings. Please, if that is your feeling, try to appreciate the first line of Dogen's Arousing the Mind of Enlightenment, together with all being. Are you now aware that you are inherently one with all being? I vow, I desire. The first crucial step is this prayer, in this prayer. It's not vague, not dull. We often hear comparisons made with archery. We sit in Zazen, and our Zazen practice, our Zazen is directly facing the target. The arrow goes straight. It reaches the target. We only imagine the arrow to be going this way and that way and over there. We aim straight for the genuine, straight for truth, genuine life. And happily, happily, genuine life is just exactly the true Dharma, just exactly the practice that we practice. We can't help but desire to know life, to know reality. When you do awaken, you will say, there is nothing which is not genuine life, this genuine life. The arrow of life is always and forever right one, right on center, the target. Life falls upon itself. Of course, our arrow goes straight for the target. The arrow and the target are one. Ultimately, the great earth and all living beings together attain the Buddha way. Pshato. The arrow is right straight in the big middle of the target. So what about those of us who still don't understand it, who still don't see it this way? We still have a sense, a feeling, a misperception that the arrow is still not right on target. It seems so, doesn't it? What should we do? There is no cause to feel lost. No one is lost. I vow that together with all being, all, everyone, one. No one is passed over. Everyone is inherently saved. The path you walk is the path of all being. No one is left out. The practice that you are here now, able to practice, includes all being. From this life on, throughout countless lives, practice, your doing, your being, the doing of all being. When we hear the true Dharma, are you perhaps not hearing it? Shakyamuni Buddha, the world-honored one, said it all perfectly, direct. His entire sermon was within these words. All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. There is no other true teaching. Why look around? This says it all because everything is included. All existence, past, future, all being is now here. There is no distance, no separation, no boundary. All being is Buddha, Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. Shakyamuni Buddha awakened to this reality. There is nothing else. All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha wisdom, Buddha virtue. But because of their topsy-turvy perception, they fail to realize this. The second part, too, is reality, until we attain awakening. Topsy-turvy perception describes everyone who is not yet awakened. Each and every one has their own karma. Each and every being is with their own distinct causes and conditions. Until we awaken, we are astray. But we haven't cause for sadness. Upon hearing the true Dharma, no doubt will arise, nor will I lack in faith. Put another way, you're saying, I will not be of two minds, undecided. Upon meeting with the true Dharma, I will renounce worldly perceptions and receive and embrace Buddha Dharma. Worldly perceptions, worldly ways, that refers simply to self-cherishing. My own world. I am the center of the world. This versus that mentality. Lost in the this and that, you and me. The world we construct in the imagination, we perceive to be everything. We perceive it to be the way it is. Worldly perceptions, worldly ways. Renounce worldly ways with courage. Open up and release your hold on ego-centered discrimination. Let go of worldly ways. This one doing. Receive and embrace Buddha Dharma. This one doing. Let go of the discriminating mind. Let go of everything. Hold nothing. Grasp nothing. Utilize nothing. And even let go of letting go. Let go of the notion of self. Just let go. Just, only this one doing. The true Dharma is the direct, one-way path, the one path which is all. Don't be flustered. It's so very smooth, really. The child acts like a child, one who is somewhat reared, somewhat raised and nurtured, also behaves as such. May you be able to act perfectly in accordance with who you are and your circumstance. Smoothly, smoothly. May you not become confused and scattered. May you not grasp illusion. And may you be able to practice the teaching of one who shows you, I vow one with all being. If you hold on to your own small judgments and evaluations, grasping the ego view, you turn your back on the practice of true Dharma. So, you do just this one doing. Please, somehow, practice as you have been instructed, with body and soul, give your all to your practice. Just practice. Just doing. Please. That goes, of course, for everyone who continues to be so strongly compelled to follow their own way, to rely on your own ideas. This self-centeredness is fiercely tenacious, isn't it? Dogen's next lines almost seem to be so very far removed. Ultimately, the great earth and all living beings together attain the Buddha way. The Buddha way is not far removed, of course. But Dogen is so well aware of our situation, of the obstinance of self-cherishing. He again brings us to an ardent, a heartfelt prayer, a vow. I vow that although my past negative karma has greatly accumulated, indeed being the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way. Dogen so clearly sees into our situation of topsy-turvy thinking, pointing it out to us, encouraging us to strengthen our vow, to let go. It all boils down to a question of habits. Habits piled upon habits. No one had to actively teach us to be this way or that. But even so, we've accumulated a vast store of habits. And we fall right into them. And we falsely assume our storehouse of habits to be life. If we habitually cling to worldly perceptions, then we must let them go. Right? With great vigor and nobility, we do this one doing. Empty, a white sheet, carrying nothing, holding nothing, chitante, chitante. Please, won't you just continue this practice, this one doing? If you're counting the breath, count the breath. If your practice is following the breath, just follow the breath. Muji, just do mu. The sound of one hand, just. Your original face, just. Whatever practice you've been given, this one doing, this practice, this one doing is perfect. complete. This one doing is the feast. The feast is not over there. Doing this one doing, your own practice, is tasting the feast. Your one single-minded doing, be it the count, following the breath, or mu, your practice, chitante, this one doing is biting into the feast. The arrow straight for the target. Just doing. Just doing. I ask that you just simply continue. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.